There are three major passages in the Bible which speak of Jesus as the Good Shepherd and of ourselves as the sheep. I wasn't sure what one to take as a text. I want to work through those passages a little bit. But I like John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The first passage, of course, is Psalm 23. And here the reasoning is from being a shepherd to being a shepherd of men. Whereas in the other, the reasoning is much more that we are sheep. And the Lord has come to say, he's sheep. But David was a shepherd. And David's reasoning is that if he could feel as he did feel for his sheep, then surely God couldn't care for him any less than he cared for his sheep. And of course, it's true for each one of us. If the Lord is our shepherd and cares for us, then we are valued by the one who alone can be trusted, the one who alone in this world of difficulties can be depended upon. So the first point that in Psalm 23 David makes is, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. David is recollecting how he cared for his sheep. He never wanted them to go short of the vital needs of life. So he led them to where there were green pastures, where they could sleep safely at night and munch away to their heart's content. And he leaded them beside the still waters where they could drink without difficulty and with ease, eating and drinking the necessities of life. David knew how to be a good king by transferring his experience as a shepherd to his dealings with people. And the Lord has given us this psalm, which is the expression of how David felt about sheep, so that we might understand how the Lord Jesus cares about us. He restoreth my soul, says David. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Animals do not have a soul. Neither are they capable of being righteous. So David here is now transferring the love which he had for his sheep to the attitude that the Lord has for his people. He restoreth their souls. They'd gone astray. They were far from him. They'd been disobedient, they'd broken his commandments. Yet the Lord, by salvation, restores the souls of his sheep. And what a wonderful thing it is to be restored, to have spiritual life, to be able to please God, to be able to know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to know that he who is the head of the whole world is our Father, our Shepherd, and will look after us. What great encouragement it gives us. And he goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now that's fascinating. Because David, as you read many of his Psalms, did fear evil. But he cries out to the Lord to fulfill his promise to him, that he may not be destroyed by the enemies. And sometimes the psalm changes in the middle. He was very fearful, and then suddenly, but I trust God. And the whole scene changes. And yet we know this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But we do fear evil. And we do have to cry out that the Lord will help us. It's a wonderful picture, the walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It may mean that it means our death. It may mean that it means the death of a loved one nearby, and we walk with them as we serve them for their last days. But the picture is wonderful. You can go on a road through the hills, can't you? And the sun is shining like it is today. But in the valley, the sun won't shine. The sun goes over the tops. And it's very chill down below. And that's the picture. Though I walk, not in the sunlight, the sunlight's there. But though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David spared his flock from a lion and from another animal, a bear. He knew that as a shepherd, it might be necessary to give his life for the sheep. And people who are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ know that he will guard them and keep them and conquer them and bring them through alive through every situation of their lives. I will not fear evil. Evil things can't stand in the presence of God. If there's anything evil about death, the Lord will overcome it by his presence in my soul. Surely, he says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. For the sheep that David looked after, they followed him and he looked after them. And nothing could go wrong for them. So there's a picture. Now, the one I haven't mentioned, the great picture of shepherds and of the sheep, is Ezekiel 34. And I didn't read it because it's a long chapter and because it's one of those places where, as you know, I went to Regent's Park College, which was a liberal college. The Baptist Union sent me there. And I would say today, you see, if anybody wants to go there to train for the ministry, just believe exactly the opposite of what you said and you'll be all right. But that's not the best way of learning. But this chapter is about false, bad shepherds. And therefore there is that sort of thing about it. But the final verse of that chapter gives us the clue that David gave us. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So that everything that is said about sheep and being pastured in this chapter is about men. It's about the Lord's people. It's about the people of his pasture. But it's not about sheep. Does God care for sheep? Well, yes, but you remember Paul's expression. But it's people that it's all about. And it is a wonderful chapter to study for encouragement. The Lord says that I am against the evil shepherds, But I, verse 14, will feed them in a good pasture. Upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Verses 14 and 15 of Ezekiel 34. So in contrast to the many shepherds, the Roman Catholic ones who don't speak the truth as it is in scriptures, High Anglican ones, whoever they are, Orthodox, the Lord will find his own even in those situations and lead them in a good pasture. He will lead them to his word. And where it's safe, upon the high mountains, their fold will be. They'll lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. If you go up high on a mountain, you get to understand a little bit about perspective. All the people going about in their cars and everywhere, way down below, they look like ants. And yet every one of us has a life full of thoughts and intentions, but we can't see the wood for the tree sometimes. And when you're up high, you get a good perspective. But not only that, being up high stands for receiving the best things. So the Lord says, I will feed my sheep in a good pasture. He will feed his flock. So here particularly, where there may not be a pastor for the flock, where there may not be anyone who teaches truth, they are able to come by the scriptures to the Lord God, who will lead them despite false shepherds. They shall lie in a good fold. They'll be quite safe. I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down. The Lord will give us that which is good for our souls. But then he speaks of things that the bad shepherds did not do. Verse 16 of Ezekiel 34. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. What causes men and women and boys and girls to get lost? Maybe that by nature they're not yet saved, and yet they go astray more than others. They get themselves in all sorts of trouble. But yet the Lord Jesus says, I will seek that which was lost. I will seek that which was lost. And I'll bring again that which was driven away. How many people are driven away from churches who would have loved to have stayed, but people were unkind. People didn't get on. Such a bad example. Nobody much cares. But Jesus says, I will bring again that which was driven away. And if you have felt like that, you will know how wonderful it is to be pursued by the Lord kindly and brought back into his ways. I will bind up that which was broken. I'm sure you have found as parents, a child can be brokenhearted. And it's probably something that parents could very easily put right. The child won't say exactly what's bugging them. And the older we get, the less likely we are to share it anyway. But the Lord binds up that which is broken. If there is anybody brokenhearted, if there's anybody whose faith is threatened because they think everything is bad and nothing is good, the Lord has promised that he will bind up that which was broken. The shepherd should do that, of course. If a sheep falls and breaks its leg, it's like to die if he can't mend it. But the Saviour binds up the brokenhearted, and he strengthens that which is sick. Some whose faith has almost gone out some who are sick in their soul, he will strengthen them. And so he says at the end, ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Well, there's more to that chapter than I deal with, but I wanted you to see that the Lord's personal, intimate knowledge of us, I know my sheep, is something which we should be able to take great courage from, but it's inside. It's not that church is something we can put on. The Lord is dealing with us within ourselves and healing us. So in John 10, there are some other things that he says. He says he is the door. He is the door. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. There have been humanists. There have been atheists. There have been philosophers who all sought to captivate the hearts of intellectuals down the years. But they're thieves and they're robbers and all that ever came before Christ and led them away from Christ are thieves and robbers. But the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now take the picture of if any man opens the door, meaning the door of his heart, Jesus said, I will come into him. So if we have left the door of our hearts open to evil things, to wrong thoughts, to the thoughts of false teachers, false philosophers, whatever, turn to the Saviour. He that entereth in by the door, the one who desires to come into your heart, the one who will put away all the false things of your heart, he is the shepherd of the sheep. And Jesus goes on to say, the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. There's something about the recognition of the shepherd's voice by sheep. I think this is very important. He's dealing with us as man. He's not talking about sheep, but he's using the illustration of sheep. When the gospel is preached, the very mention of the name of the Lord Jesus hooks us. The sheep hear his voice. The sheep are gripped by the idea, and of course the Lord has put it there, but the sheep are gripped by the everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the reason I recommend the thorough reading of the Gospels at all times, because the heart is gripped. The heart is gripped by the Saviour. We love the things he does. If you like, we hear his voice. And then the calling by the Gospel. He calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. It's a remarkable thing. I can't tell one sheep from another. But we recognize the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ above all the other clamors, above all the other things that would grasp us and drag us down with them. But then he calls his sheep by name. Study again the calling of Samuel. The calling of Samuel. He heard that voice. How audible it was, I have no idea whether it was in his heart and it woke him. But for us, that hearing of the voice of the Saviour will certainly be deep down in our hearts. The sheep heareth his voice and he calleth his own sheep by name. And he leadeth them out. They follow him. They won't follow anybody else now. But they know the voice of the Lord Jesus. They know what he teaches. They've seen him in the New Testament. And they follow him. They know his voice. They know what he says. They recognize him. All these pictures come into mind, but they're so comforting for the Lord's people. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Well, the Lord Jesus is the only one, but to know him and to know his voice within. You've heard me say often that if the voice within you is dealing roughly with you, it isn't the Lord Jesus. If somebody's telling you, well, a bad Christian, something inside you is telling you, you're not a Christian because you did this, or you're a bad person because you did that. That's not how Jesus deals with it. The woman at the well had lived a bad life, but Jesus didn't say to her, you're a bad person. Nor the woman who was caught having been committing adultery into the temple. Jesus didn't say, you're a bad person. It isn't his way. He's kind. He is gentle. A stranger, will they not follow his sheep? If it's rough, if it's unkind, if it's nothing but damaging, if it's worrying, if it's critical, it's not the Lord Jesus. A stranger, will they not follow, but will flee from him, flee to Jesus, for they know not the voice of strangers. And when they didn't understand it, Jesus gave another picture. He says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. But within the fold, they were safe because I was at the door. And all the thieves and robbers that would have liked to have come in, they knew nothing about, because I was guarding them. The Queen of Sheba said to Solomon about his greatness that the half was not told her. The half has not been told us of the care and of the love and of the protection that the Lord Jesus Christ has afforded to us as his people, as his sheep. I am the door, he said. By me, if any man enter in, no man can come to the Father but by Jesus. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's dealing with our eternal lives. Not just the picture of a lamb being kept from the wolf, but us being preserved unto eternal life. If any man enter in, he shall be saved if we enter into the door. And we shall go in and out and find pasture. Every day we may leave the fold, and the shepherd will be watching over us. And every day we may return to the fold, and the Lord Jesus will guard us while we sleep and while we take care. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Well, that's what thieves do, don't they? They come in, they ransack the house, turn everything upside down, try and find what they're looking for. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But Jesus says, that's not what I do. I don't come to take away and destroy men's lives. I don't come to tell them what not to do. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. How will they have it more abundantly? Well, I am the good shepherd and I give my life for the sheep. My sheep need saving. My sheep are under the wrath of the Father, but I will give my life for them. I will pay their debt. I will bear their sin. I will bear the wrath of God upon my sheep so that they do not have to suffer it. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. The hireling flees. He's only there for the money. Not really interested in the sheep. And if there's any trouble, he runs. But Jesus says, no. I look after my sheep until the very end. And then Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Verse 27. And I know them and they follow me. Isn't that lovely? We hear Jesus talking in his word. The Savior knows us. And we follow him because we have such trust in that voice and in that knowledge. And if we trust him, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I've watched enough people come to the end of their lives carelessly and suddenly realize that death is getting near. Some try to brazen it out, but they are afraid because the Lord has put the fear of judgment in their souls. Some try to brazen it out. Some say, because the devil tells them that, that I can't turn to him now after having been bad all my life. It wouldn't be fair. Of course, it's not true. You may come to the Lord Jesus and hear his voice whenever. But the Lord Jesus gives eternal life to his sheep, and they shall never perish. Do you see what a quantum advantage believers have? We're going to die, unless he comes first. But we shall enter into eternal life. It's guarded. There's no question about it. There's no question about its quality. And they shall never perish. When the Lord spoke to Martha before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he spoke about those who lived and believed in him, as well as those who believed in him and have died, but that they're all safely in the Lord's hands. And you cannot underestimate what it means to be in God's hands, for we must all die. For us to be in the Savior's hands, for us to be protected and kept and enter into that eternal life. And nothing can pluck us from the Savior's hand. Nobody trying to pull or pluck or do whatever they like can actually get the Savior to release us into the hand of the enemy. And if that wasn't enough, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If that wasn't enough, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We're totally agreed on this matter. It's not as though I'm saying to the Father, well, I'd rather like you to have so-and-so, and he's saying to me, I'm not so sure. They're in total agreement. And if they've drawn us to the Lord Jesus, and we've heard his voice and obeyed, we cannot be plucked out of the twofold hand, so to speak, of the Father and of the Son. We're safe. We're secure. We cannot be overthrown. We won't be plucked away from the things that we've loved and heard and committed ourselves to. The pictures in the Bible, there are others, of course, but these are the three great ones about the Lord being a great shepherd and us, people of his pasture, are men, and that we are as sheep. These are some of the most comforting, because they speak about care. They speak about care. They speak about unseen dangers that only the shepherd can watch over us for. And they speak of utter security that no man can take away. May we all be thoroughly secure. And may it all begin with we know his voice and follow him. Amen.